Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
So glad to have you with us here this morning. I want you to know that God is everything. He, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, He is our all in all. We're not about preaching religion here at Fundamental Baptist Church. We're not about building a denomination. We are not a denomination. We're an independent, fundamental, Baptist, local New Testament church. We're about exalting the Savior. And you do that by preaching and teaching the Word of God, the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's holy word. And that's what changes lives. The grace of God. We just got through singing about the grace of God. The book of Hebrews, let me just give you this real quickly and I'll tell you what I'm going to preach about. It's about the supremacy of Christ. It's written to first century Hebrew Christians. They were scattered everywhere and implores to them the supremacy of Christ over the angels, over Moses, over Abraham, over religion, over all of Judaism, Old Testament Judaism, the supremacy of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ is everything. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews and chapter 12. I'm going to try, this is going to scare you. I am going to try to preach the entire chapter. 29 verses. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in the first three verses. Maybe more than the average. I'm going to fly through a lot of it. And I won't get to exegete all 29 verses. But if I can help you, life is from God. We're going to read here in Hebrews in chapter 12 of life being a race. And there's one crisis after another, the crisis of the week. We all have them. We're to count it all joy when we fall into diverse or manifold different kinds of temptations and testings. And we read that in the book of James, the very next book. But here in the book of Hebrews, it speaks of the event of life. And just a couple of quick things I want to say about everybody's crisis is the biggest thing in life. No matter what the crisis is, it's a mountain. It may be something that you're going to look back at weeks from now and say, man, that was nothing. That was a bump in the road. This week, it is the real crisis. And it's just about perspective many times. I want to encourage you before I get to preaching here this morning, and this is Bible. I can take you here in Hebrews 12 and I go to Philippians in chapter 3. We spend a lot of time fretting about things that never end up happening. It is far better to do something for God today. Some of us stew in past defeats. It's better to go ahead and advance the cause of Christ and get something done for God. Don't live in the past. Man, don't get all caught up in past defeats. Don't get in the gall of bitterness. Don't be that one that you can't get past something in your life or maybe it's a victory and all you do is live in the past and how it used to be. Man, you gotta go beyond that. Understand there is a finish line. In Philippians in chapter 3, it's some of tonight's message. There is a prize that we are to press towards. And there's a purpose to life as a child of God. Let's go to here to Hebrews chapter 12. Real quickly, Hebrews and chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now understand this, every crisis in life is an opportunity for God to reveal His power. You've got a difficulty with a teenager. You've got a relationship problem with a coworker. You've got a health problem on the horizon of your life. And man, I know that's a heavy burden. And I know that's a heavy weight. But I want you to understand, cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Lay your weight, lay your burden at Jesus' feet. Life is an event. It is a race. We read that in verse 1. Now, in this event of life, And Paul here, no doubt, just like if it was Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews, but it was Paul that wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. And what he said there in 1 Corinthians is, we're to run the race. He was using the Isthmian Games as an illustration. I think the writer of Hebrews was doing the same thing. And he says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Two things very quickly. Make sure you're running in the right direction. That's profound. Make sure you're born again. Make sure you know that your sins are forgiven, that you are on God's team. You see, you could spend your whole life running with the wrong purpose. You could spend your whole life actually running in the wrong direction. Make sure you're running in the right direction. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. Salvation is sure. Listen, I'm not going to preach the gospel this whole message. I want to get it in right now. If you're here today and you don't know that your sins are forgiven, I'm not condemning you. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm not. Bible says we're all sinners. All right? But if you don't know that your sins are forgiven, you come to Jesus today and ask him for forgiveness of sins, he will save you. That is the promise of God. I'm no better than you. I might be worse than you. But I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And I know that because I have, listen to this, the righteousness of Christ. Not Tim Rader's righteousness. The righteousness of the only begotten Son of God. And he died on Mount Calvary on the cross, and he shed his blood for me. He paid the price for my sin. And all I've got to do and all you've got to do to know and have eternal life is turn to Jesus. From your heart, call out to God and ask him to save you, and he will save you. And I'm going to say more about that at the end of the service. And you, that maybe has caught your attention, and you don't know that your sins are forgiven. You might be a good guy or a good woman, but you don't know that your sins are forgiven. You've tried to do good in life. That's wonderful, but you're never going to be good enough to go to God's heaven. You need the Savior. You need Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And if you, in an act of faith, will receive him today, he'll give you eternal life. Make sure in this race of life that you're running in the right direction. Look what else it says here in verse 1. It says, run with patience. It's a marathon. In the games in Paul's day, it was a 26-mile race. It isn't a sprint where you can rely on talent and it's a burst of speed. Some people are born with that in the physical world. But to run a marathon, man, that's running with patience. That is running with endurance. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, that's being steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Once you make sure you're going in the right direction, once you know you're saved, now after salvation, understand you're not supposed to be just a flash in the pan. Jesus is not a fad. He is the Savior, and a radical change in lifestyle as a result of the power of salvation. We're to run with patience, with endurance, the race that is put before us. God designed the race of life. He's got you experiencing things that I will never experience. Understand, this event of life is an endurance. It's a marathon. It is an endurance race. It's not for the faint-hearted. You know what? To live for God, to get saved, that's easy. Jesus did all the work. Wasn't easy for him. I'm not degrading that at all. His part was a work of holiness. Salvation is easy on the part of the sinner. It's just repenting of my sin and coming to Jesus and receiving him as my Savior. I got born again. It is a gift. It is not a prize. It is a gift, the gift of eternal life. And after I get saved, now I'm to run with patience the race that is set before me, the race of life. It's a long race. It's an endurance race. Sissies quit. People that can't handle it, they throw in the towel. And I'm saying all the endurance and all of the grace that you're going to need in life, it will be provided by the Son of God if you'll just look to Him. Well, that's some of tonight's message. I don't want to preach tonight's message. It's a stick of dynamite. I'm holding back on that. Look what it says in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Number one, there's encouragement. Oh, and by the way, we're not alone in this race. We're surrounded by witnesses, it says in verse 1. In the context of the Bible, He's referring to the witnesses of Hebrews and chapter 12. He's talking about people that have already gone home to heaven. They've lived their life. They've run their race. They were born again, and then they ran their race for the glory of God. And they're in the heavenly grandstand cheering on the church of Jesus Christ today. You're not alone in the race. There's great encouragement. We, in chapter 11, we learned how to worship from Abel. We learned how to walk with God from Enoch. We learned how to wait on God from Abraham. We learned how to work for God from Noah. We learned how to win with God from Moses. And the list goes on and on with the heroes of the faith. You see, people in heaven know what's going on. That's why it tells us in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15 and verse 7 and 10, there's rejoicing in the presence of the holy angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. We're not alone. I'm telling you, I don't know how it works, but they know what's going on here in this earth. I know what my Bible says. They're cheering us on. And they don't cheer because you hit a three-pointer. That's cold, hard facts. They cheer when you win and bring a sinner to Christ. That's what they get excited about. There's encouragement. Real people with real problems. And we give to them real faith. And it comes from God. One crisis after another in our life. Life is sometimes tough. So on Thursday morning, I went into the Sioux. I had to move my brother Daniel to Baraga up in the Keweenaw Peninsula. Everybody's working. So it was me and Garrett. And my brother Daniel. My brother Daniel's special. I don't know if some of you maybe don't know him. Mom and Dad adopted him a lot of years ago. And he's moving up to Baraga to be with his brother and sister. And he was part of that tribe up there. So he rented the U-Haul. The social worker called me and said, hey, we need a crew of guys. I said, I guess that's me. And I feel a little bit obligated. And I talked Garrett into coming with me. And we went up and packed everything he owned in that U-Haul on Thursday morning. I'm talking about crisis now, all right? Life is an adventure. You never know what is going to happen. Now, here's what's going to surprise you. We loaded up. It took hours. We loaded up there in the Sioux, had breakfast with Mom and Dad, and a real fancy place. They got those golden arches up there in the front, you know, a real nice place. We had breakfast together. Then we loaded up in the U-Haul, and we started the long trek across the Upper Peninsula, mile after mile. And that U-Haul road is rough as a hay wagon, man. The logging trucks have kind of tore things up in the other end. But the boom, ba boom, boom. But here's the deal. We got up there, couldn't find the right place, couldn't find the social worker. It was closing time. Finally got them, finally got the right place, finally got everything unloaded for the most part. It was a two-day affair. I didn't get back till Friday, late Friday afternoon, going into Friday evening. And, you know, I was exhausted, man. But God protected us every step of the way. I was expecting a crisis. I was expecting Daniel to have a piano or something. You know, I mean, I was expecting some difficulties. And it was just like, you know, God just went before us, kept taking care of things. In my wallet, I've always got 10, 12 gospel tracks. I ran out about Marquette. I don't know exactly where, but man, and when I had Garrett with me though, and Garrett had a stack of them, so we never ran out. So we seeded gospel tracks all the way over there to the social worker there and all the way back. And we had good fellowship, and it was a wonderful time. Life isn't always uphill. Now, I always tell you some calamity that has happened in my life, and you were expecting something, weren't you? All I had to do was sweat a little bit. That's all it was. And I was exhausted when I got back, but God is good. There are times in life when it's uphill, and there are mountains. There are times in life when it's easy. You honor God, and you run the race of life, no matter what's going on in life. Look at verse 2. You're wondering how I'm going to get to verse 29, aren't you? I'm going to summarize. I promise you, I'm going to stay in the radio limit, all right? Radio time slot. Looking unto Jesus, the author, and the, I don't know how I'm going to get to verse 29. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Already read up in verse 1, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I want to plant here for just a moment and kind of run with this just a little bit. Weights and every sin that doth so easily beset us. In this race of life, there are encumbrances. There are weights. There are difficulties. There are burdens that are going to keep us from running for God. If you're going to run a 26-mile race, you're not going to bring your guitar with you. You're not going to bring your boots with you. If you're going to run a 26-mile race, you're going to say, oh, wait, before you hit that gun, I got something I got to get. And you go back to your house and you get, I don't know, your refrigerator because you love your couch. You love your couch. You should put your couch on your back, you know. Okay, wait, one more thing. And man, you're just not going to be successful in life. You're not going to win at that race. And I'm just saying here this morning, the writer of Hebrews is saying, there are a lot of things in our lives that are not necessarily sin in and of themselves, but we make them the main thing in our life and it becomes an idol. Little children, John said, keep yourself from idols. Idols is anything that take the place of God. Well, I don't have anything to take the place of God. You have things in your life, perhaps, in your life, that as soon as it calls your name, it's before Jesus. It's right now. That's a weight. Man, you got to prioritize in your life. It's not enough to say Jesus first. It isn't enough to say I love Jesus more than anything else. And then you have an idol. And you polish it all the time. And you live for it all the time. Man, you got to spend most of your time with Christ. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm talking about time with God in the morning. I'm talking about reality, real life. You can't live off other people's spirituality. Pretty soon they're not going to be around you and you flop. That's what ends up happening. So lay aside the weights and the sins that doth so easily beset us. And we've all got difficulty. I'll confess to you, Ray, I have more trouble with myself than anybody else in this world. That's it. Man, I have more trouble with myself. Some people live from crisis to crisis. Don't go there. Some people, worse than that, they live from other people's crisis to crisis. They have no life of their own. They really don't honor God. They feel better about themselves when they hear about somebody else's crisis. And that's their walk with God? No, that isn't a walk with God. So life is difficult. All by itself for Tim Rader, for little Timmy Rader. Man, I have to work at it. I cannot afford to carry extras. It's stupid to run a race with weight from this world, with sin in my life. I'll never finish the race for the glory of God. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, that's Jesus, against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The race is tough. You're going to get weary. You're going to get faint. You're going to sometimes faint along the way. You need to understand, Jesus went before us. Life is not supposed to be about pleasure. Life, and I like to laugh, maybe more than anybody here. I love life. I relish it. But life is not supposed to be a game. It's not just to have a good time for me personally or to profit me personally. That's not where it's at. Consider Jesus. He came for one thing, souls. He went to Calvary. The crucifixion was not nice. Gethsemane was no game. Calvary was not a picnic. The cross was not padded. He did that for us. The writer of Hebrews is saying, run the race. Give it everything you've got. Understand you're not alone. There are those in heaven. They're cheering you on. They're concerned. There's rejoicing when there's a great victory. Set aside the weights. Peel them away. Set aside the sin which doth so easily beset you. Remember Jesus. Remember what he did. He ran life successfully. All right? Now, I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing here. Verse 4. What he says in verse 4 is, he's writing this, but by way of me reading the scripture, it's for Fundamental Baptist Church this morning. He's saying, there are no martyrs here. You and I think we suffer for Christ. There's nobody here that's been killed for the glory of God. Some of those first century saints, some of the saints in other parts of the world today, you thank God you were not born in Afghanistan. You thank God you were not born in North Korea. Could have been, you know. Be thankful to God you weren't born in Libya. You were born in America. Be thankful to God you were born in Old Testament days. He's going to allude to that here in just a moment. This is the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's an exciting day to be alive. It's all of grace. It's not the law. It's grace. Man, you be thankful. He says here in verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And then he says, now there's some difficulties because we do wrong. And God is correcting us. Verses 5 through verse 11. Where God chastises us or spanks us or corrects us when we do wrong. And be thankful for that. That proves you're a child of God. You have a heavenly Father and he meets you and he takes care of you. Glory to God. Be thankful for that. So some of the race is that. And that's difficult. Put it all together. Run the race. Set aside the weights. Set aside the sin. Forsake it. Forsake it. Remember Jesus, all he did for you. Nobody here has died a martyr's death. You have not yet resisted unto blood. That's not happened. So quit feeling sorry for yourself. All right? And sometimes the trouble that comes our way, it's self-inflicted. We choose wrong. God loves us and we're his child and he corrects us. That's chastisement. Verse 15. Oh, verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Encourage others for God. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So others are following you. It's important. You live right. Verse 14, no casual Christianity. God doesn't use that kind of Christianity. That kind of Christianity is camouflage. It just kind of blends in with the world. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Peace and holiness. Reflect Christ. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace or fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't get bitter because of some past event. That's a mistake. That's a cancer. And you spread your cancer to other people. And that's where forgiveness comes in. You mature, you get past that. And then he talks about the sin of the fornicator and the profane person like Esau, who's willing to give everything he has for the flesh. That's immature. That's not tonight's message, but it sure could be. This is the one that's willing to sell his soul, his birthright, for a pot of pottage. Oh, I want fun now. And I'm willing to do anything and everything. As a child of God, I'm willing to do anything and everything. Forget the future. Forget. And he's saying, don't do that. Talking about the race of life. Along the race of life, along the way, you're going to have opportunities to do wrong. That'll be very appealing. Don't go there. It says, hear the Bible. Verse 20. The law is hard. Verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What a difference Christ makes. It's the new covenant. Christ loves sinners. Glory to God, it's the New Testament. Glory to God, we have grace. And don't use that grace for an occasion to the flesh. Man, there's too much to preach there, isn't there? Open your eyes to what's going on in the race of life. By the way, look around and see the result others have accomplished, the result of their lives because they chose the wrong path. Just look around. A little bit of discernment, and you'll know the Bible way is the only way to go. Christ makes all the difference. Says he's going to judge the world again. Going to shake the very heaven. Verse 28 says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." What he says in verses 22 through 29 is, understand how, what I'm saying when I say this. Don't misinterpret it. The kingdom of God is ours. In Christ, you can have this kingdom here in this world. It's nothing. It's debauchery and dust, and it's heartache. The kingdom of God in Christ is ours. So I want to close with what I started with. The race of life, the event. It's a marathon. It's designed by God. Consider what Christ did. He never looked back. Some of our troubles are self-inflicted. Nobody to blame but ourselves. God has to correct us if we're genuinely born again. It says, encourage others. Walk a straight path. Others will follow. Follow peace and holiness. Reflect Christ. Don't get bitter. Verse 15. Everybody's got reason to be bitter if you're selfish. Didn't go the way I wanted it. Climb down from your high chair. I'm bringing this message to a climax, but this is the mind of your pastor. I'm watching the Olympics. I said, climb down from your high chair. I think this will illustrate it. Some of you saw the same commercial. I'm trying to think of what the commercial was for. That matters not. Here's a man about my age with an apron on. A manly apron, but an apron on. He's in his kitchen. I'm not really sure what a manly apron looks like, but there's no flowers on it, right? And he's in his kitchen, and he's making pancakes or something. And he said, and this might have been an investment firm or something. He said, I really thought by this time in my life I'd be retired and spending more time on a golf course. And his thoughts kind of go off into that. And, you know, I'd be living my own life by this time. And then, and pretty soon, it shows the camera pans over his shoulder. And here's about, a 36-year-old man, his son, sitting in an overgrown high chair, waiting for his breakfast. You know, the 5 o'clock shadow and everything. And he's waiting, and he's got his cell phone. He says, Dad, the Wi-Fi's slow. Do something about it. And I'm thinking, that's where a lot of immature Christians are right there. Sitting in the high chair, and you want God to just meet your every need and take care of your every deal that comes your way. And the Wi-Fi's slow. I'm suffering for Jesus. You know, thinking, wow. Jesus said, the writer of Hebrews said, it's a race, it's an event, it's endurance. You aren't just going to burst right now. Man, stay faithful. That's called faithfulness. Stay faithful to God. Good times, bad times. That's what Jesus did. And if you suffer self-inflicted wounds because God has to correct you, we've all been there. Man, don't get bitter about that. Man, reflect Jesus Christ and thank God. Thank God. The kingdom of God is now ours because of Christ. Because he's our mediator. This is the New Testament church age. You weren't born under the law. The law is harsh. You were born in the New Testament. Glory to God. With all the opportunities we have today, it's time to serve God.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.